looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will dream it.
To be welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And Lindsay lost her voice. It's fine. It's just the one thing you need to do a podcast.
I'm
a voice
sorry.
And a mic.
I always forget. It's like the purest like tool that I can't fuck up. You know, like I could do. You burnt yourself yesterday, you know, like
I burnt myself like you pulling tater tots out of the oven.
Like you lost finger use. That's fine for you.
It was rough. It was tough on me.
But you know what I mean? You still can do your job, which is iconic. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the real vocational hazard. And I fucked it up.
So I burned my finger accidentally shoving the oven rack back into the oven without a mitt. Yeah. Pulling out the tater tots, but you lost your voice, what, singing along to Robin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Happy Pride.
I mean.
So I'm sorry. It sounds fine. So
I think it's fine. Yesterday was so much worse.
Can you whisper your reaction to Harry Connick Jr. joining the cast of NBC's Annie Live as Daddy Warbucks?
Okay, here it is.
What do you think?
Nor. I'm so excited to see this fool in a bald cap.
Do you remember how good Taraji's statement was about like, it was very like reverent of Carol Burnett? This is Harry's statement. It's such a classic show. And it's a show that I'm so familiar with just from seeing it a million times. And it's one of those things where you watch it and enjoy it and never really imagine yourself a part of it. Yeah, why would you? So when I was asked to play Daddy Warbucks, it was kind of a surreal experience because that's such an iconic role. And then they asked about Taraji P. Henson. And he says, I absolutely love her. She's one of those super, super talented, multi-talented people that are very rare, and I'm a huge fan. I'm really excited to not only be around her and get to work with her, but just to kind of watch her work and see what makes that big brain that she has tick. It's going to be a really fun experience.
You can tell he wrote this himself.
Yeah. But that reminded me, Taraji posted the BET Awards last night, and at one point she dressed up as her and pretended to be her, and I'm just like, it will never...
Not her.
It will never not be funny that her's name is her.
Wait, Taraji dressed up as her and was
Taraji dressed
to be
up
her?
As a lot of, Taraji dressed up as Tina Turner. Oh, Taraji dressed up as her. Taraji did a lot of dress. She dressed up as Betty Boop. Like she did a lot of dress up at the BET Awards, but her was honestly
they
the one that stole the show.
So fun. I watched bits of it. I watched a lot of the performances.
They looked real.
It looks real. It looks live as fuck in a fun way.
There was
way.
A real red carpet.
There was fashion.
Wore fashion on the red carpet. He made out with two people on stage. It was wonderful.
Cardi B came out pregnant. It was a lot of stuff going on.
It was a real award show.
Yeah, and Harry Connick Jr. was not invited.
Hey, hobo man. Hey, Dapper Dan. You've both got your style.
So wait. Before we move on, you are really excited because Love Island is about to premiere. You told me yesterday, you were talking about some book and you were like, well, I'm not going to be able to read it for 2 months because Love Island starts this week.
I mean, I'm not like out here reading anyways, really, but
when Love Island starts, I know that my night, every single night of the week, is going to be taken up by watching Love Island. So I just don't. I just know that I'm going to have to, you know, shift some other priorities around.
I love this voice. I got to say, I love it. It's really good. I don't know who she is.
Even my laugh is different.
But I like it. But I
love Island returns to the UK, which is huge because it was canceled last year. And I've missed it. It airs nightly on ITV2. And if you're a true fan, you can figure out how to watch it like in the UK before it hits Hulu. So I'll leave that up to you. But I will be tuning in.
Does it hit Hulu the next day?
I'm not quite sure, but if you really want to be up on your tabloids, you gotta dive right in.
That's why VPNs exist.
It's not that hard to figure out how to watch ITV. I'm just saying, like, anyone could figure it out. But I am going to make it, you know, my goal to be caught up, hopefully, each day, you know?
What's funny, I've noticed that ads for VPNs, like on podcasts, explicitly mention like watch content from other countries. I'm like, oh, no one's trying to hide anything. God,
we don't have a VPN ad. That would be great for this if we.
That would be the peg, Love Island.
Interesting.
Speaking of Love Island, though, Malika Hawk is dating one of them.
I was trying to lead into this, which was that Malika Hawk is dating one of the American Love Island guys, Johnny Middlebrooks. I think he's American. He's American. Who. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's funny about this guy is such a freaking social climber. The only thing that's funny about this
a is Love Island contestant is a social climber?
When you Google his name, it says people also ask, are Celery and Johnny still together? And I was like, Celery? Who the fuck is Celery? And then I remembered on Love Island, the girl he ended up with, her name is Celie.
Celie Vasquez.
C-E-L-Y. And people are typing in our Celery. They're like, is he still with that girl, Celery?
It's two letters away from Celery. Like, it's not that close. Celie Vasquez and Celery Vasquez are very far away.
Are Johnny and Celery still together?
Well, they're not. They're not. He is now with Malika.
The Love Island standard is that these people break up with their partners, go on the show, find quote-unquote love, try and win, and then the minute they reach back home, the old partner resurfaces, or actually they were still with somebody the whole time, or they didn't really want to be with this person anyways. And it's like devastating. It's honestly, the postscript of Love Island is so devastating, I don't recommend anyone research, you know? I want these people... This is very, I'm trying to say this the kindest way that I can. I want Love Island people to disappear off the face of the earth once the show is over. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to see you. I don't want you coming up in the news. Nothing.
You want them to go to like some other island, some other space island, go a planet, I guess. Somewhere. Otherwise known as a planet.
Else. Okay.
We send them to the ISS. That's where we send them after Love Island. The Russians are like, we can't fit anyone else. Stop sending Love Island people up here. This is a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, because they're trying to like decommission it. We're just sending all the Love Island contestants there.
That's a gravity reboot also.
Speaking of extraterrestrial places, you saw Cara Delevingne's new AD tour, are you?
Hi, guys. We've met before, right? Hi, AD. I'm Cara Delevingne, and welcome to my house. Leo, come on. Okay, yeah, see you later. Be back by 10. Okay.
That's good.
Who lives here? A fucking alien. Who is this person?
We almost talked about this in the Patreon and Lindsay like got mad at me. I put it in the Patreon doc and she was like, because we usually talk about them in the Patreon or just like weird topics. And she was like, do not call Cara Delevingne them. And I was like, that's kind of fair. That's kind of fair. She's a
first of all, didn't I just see this woman show me around her other psycho house like 4 minutes ago?
Where she lived with her sister.
Yeah. It was like jungle themed. And I was like, this is giving me the biggest migraine. You know, I don't even get migraines. Mm-hmm. That's a flex. Mm-hmm.
So Cara showed, yeah, that's a big humble brag. So Cara showed off her house on Architectural Digest, the new house where she just moved in, I guess. And it starts off and you're like, wow, this is so beautiful. Because when it started, I was like, wow, being rich seems so fun. Look how big this is. Look how good the light is. And then within 45 seconds, it just becomes a house of horrors. It is, everything about it is hideous. It's overdone. It's like a child who has been given $6 million and been told, like, go nuts.
It's the grown-up LA 2020 to 2021 version of when you went to somebody's house in college and you realized, oh, this is a party house. People mm-hmm. live here, but it's made for parties. The table is a beer pong table. The fridge is filled with beer. You know, like there's no sign of life, you know?
The hallway is a vagina.
So this was probably the newest thing that he helped me create. I think I called him up one day and asked for this, and he genuinely made this happen. So this is my vagina tunnel. Shall I go through? I'm gonna go through. Oh God. And then you're inside. You wanna come in, Alfie? Come on, baby. I come in here to think, I come in here to create. I feel inspired in the vagina tunnel. So I'm gonna show you where this lovely labia leads. See you there.
And also, I realize every room is a museum of ice cream.
This is the room where I have my ball pit, but the balls are full of like jelly and you can eat the jelly. Like it's always
so
some
gross.
Gimmick.
It's the grossest house.
Right. This used to be a functional second bedroom, but now it's 25 water beds stacked on top of each other. My voice is crazy.
Your voice is really funny. Your voice is really funny. When she says, this was our friend Kate's favorite part, when she's like, the floors are very hard and they hurt my feet, so I got a scooter to go around my house. And it's like, look,
bitch.
Look. Get rugs, get carpet. Like, I know that people look down on carpet, but if hardwood or concrete, stained concrete, is hurting your feet, maybe you have to put in
the
something
soft. The solution
to
a hard floor hurting your feet is not a scooter. It's not. It's
scooters
it's,
are made of metal and plastic. It's still hard.
I'm sorry, but get a pair of Crocs. I don't know what to tell. What even is this issue? How is this an issue?
Okay. Do Crocs make your feet just puddles of sweat? Because
Bobby,
I don't know if I can keep wearing my Crocs.
You brought this up. I cut it from the podcast. I don't know what to tell you.
Is this just me or is this everyone?
No, I wear mine like almost every day. They don't make my feet sweaty.
Okay. Well, okay. Cara Delevingne's house is disgusting. And it's probably one of the priciest apartments or houses that we've seen on AD in a while. Like, it's so big. It's so LA. It's so overdone. Everything about it is custom and it's ugly.
I wouldn't say it's like disgusting. It's just like, it's the new version of gaudy. And I just think like, we have a very specific aesthetic in mind that we consider to be like Liberace meets Joan Collins gaudy, like Las Vegas, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. I think this is the millennial or the zillennial version of gaudiness, where it's like everything, it looks like it's an experience or like an Instagram photo.
That's what I mean.
Nothing is actually like livable or chic or unique. It's everything is like, hey, why don't we turn this seat thing into a slide? And it's like, why, you know? And I think it's just, this is nouveau gaudy.
It seems like it's a party house, like you called it, but also like it doesn't really even seem like the most comfortable party house. Like there's no real comfy place to like sit down and chill and chat with people. Like everything is just so, every
room is exhausting.
What are
you talking about? What about her like vagina room with like the swing and like the cuffs that are like attached to the thing?
No.
Never forget, this is the woman who brought the sex bench in for like a gag. I mean, that sex bench is in there somewhere.
She's funny. And also, I think it was unfair that she got an Architectural Digest tour, because it's like so much of the stuff that she's showing off we've already seen, because she repeats over and over again, I just took this from my last house, like the bed, like the chair,
right.
All of the like artwork.
And
like,
also, who
we've
knows?
We've seen it all before.
It could be for sale next week, as far as these things go. That would not shock me.
None of it is. I think the thing that's most frustrating about this house is that like, none of it is made to last. Like, just like a museum of ice cream is going to sort of like decompose more quickly than a normal storefront because people are interacting with everything. Like, all of this stuff is just going to crumble, fall apart, and it's going to be dated in 2 seconds. Like, she's going to have to change this entire house in 18 months. And I guess she can because she can afford it, but like, it's just not a cozy, livable house.
Wow. Okay.
Bothers
fine.
Me.
Slammer.
Slammer.
So, I think that's all. I can't obviously take you in the dungeon downstairs because that would be showing all my secrets. It's a joke. I don't have a dungeon. That would be weird.
What's up with Erica Jane? You're the housewife's head. You watched a Hulu doc on this? There was a Hulu doc on this, Lindsay? What?
This was a housewife.
Erica Jane.
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Who married a hustler.
Tom Girardi was L.A. Law. So powerful.
They were just blowing money left and right. But then...
The Real Housewives star accused with her husband of staging a fake divorce.
Thomas Girardi accused of embezzlement. People love a good scandal.
The biggest question is, did she know?
The Housewife and the Hustler. Only on Hulu.
It was called The Housewife and the Hustler.
Was it official?
It's not. I mean, what do you mean by official?
Oh, it's ABC News. Oh, it's ABC News. I thought it was like, is it a Erica James sanction thing, but it's news.
Really funny Housewives talking heads. And they even got Andy Cohen was like, I'm not commenting on like that's like they got the worst people. But they got like Sonny Hostin, like I'm a lawyer to, you know, comment. Mm-hmm, and they got a lot of people involved in the case to comment, as well as a lot of women who worked at his former law firm to comment. And what's really sad is like, I think they wanted this documentary to be a little bit of like gossy, you know, but what it turned out to be was a really, really sad documentation of like the victims that he stole money from. So it's like, this guy is like, I got in this accident where like my house blew up and I was burned. Right. And it's like, he won me $100 million. I have seen not one penny of that dollars, you know? And it's just like so bleak because it's like, these people won enough money to really have them set for like future generations even. And like they will never, ever see that money. And so it's like really more of a documentary about that scenario happening and how it happens to lots of people all the time. And you don't realize.
Got it. That's crazy. I had no idea.
So this is about that. And like what's happening from that documentary, I think, is that the Erica Jane's lawyers are seeing that there is a lot of evidence that she knew more about this going on than she let on. Her name is on a few documents where she's like the secretary for his like businesses, you know, some of these businesses he started, right? She sees paperwork, or at least her name is on documents inferring that she sees paperwork, because she's trying to essentially say like, my money is separate than his money.
Got it. Okay.
Meanwhile, Housewives is airing currently, and they're talking about this as well, even though those are old episodes. What's currently happening is different. So her lawyers tried to basically file to get put off the case. They didn't want to be her lawyers anymore. Then the next day they filed to stay on the case. It's like a whole messy thing. But since this documentary came out, she was requesting that the judge change the lawyer again because he tweeted about shit on social media or whatever.
Clap if you believe her. All right. Norntman, present your theory.
Well,
even Bernie agrees with Norman. Sorry, Bernie, I don't mean to drag you into stuff. Sorry, Burns.
Well, I think they're in a lot of trouble, legally, or he is. So I believe maybe, possibly, allegedly, she came home from that Lake Tahoe trip, and which she mentioned nothing about a divorce. It was all like, oh, I love Tom. So she got home from that trip, and he told her, look, it's about to hit the fan. It's all going down. I'm gonna put the money in your account. And we're gonna say we're divorced. I'm gonna pretend this and that is happening to me, and you're gonna go on that show and you're gonna say this and that.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
I saw there was a preview for the next season or some episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and they called it the biggest scandal in Housewives history.
Is it?
Is that hyperbole or is that true?
It deals with maybe more money than has been dealt, because these women, all the crimes they get involved with are always like money crimes, you know, like you know about Teresa.
Yeah.
But and so it's a lot of money. You know, it's like the Erin Brockovich lawyer stole millions and millions of dollars from like victims of like plane crashes, like truly appalling shit, you know, to basically subsidize his wife's music career, who then releases a song called I'm So Rich, I'm So Expensive. So it's like, that is really bad, you know, if true, allegedly.
Will you be watching?
Which part?
The episode?
I mean, sure, probably. I already watched this stupid documentary. I mean, the documentary wasn't stupid. I'm just like, they clearly promoted it as something scandalous and had a lot to do with Erica, because that's the hook. But then the documentary
really
was just
wasn't
like
about
so
Erica.
Sad. And it was like, yeah, like these people like really don't deserve this. This sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, they thought they were choosing the best lawyer, and they were, because he won cases, but he was a freaking con artist.
He was the hustler. He was the titular hustler.
It also just shows that, like, every time they introduce a new housewife and they're like, she is damn rich. She is so rich. It's like at the beginning of the end for her wealth. These women cannot stay rich.
That's what happens in every reality show, though. Like, the people who are pretending to be the richest are usually the ones whose wealth is in like the most precarious situation where it's my like thing these is things like, can be, go, be gone in 2 seconds.
If you're out here committing crimes to stay rich, why would you want to be on Housewives? I mean, you really truly have to have a brain disease to like to go on a public show, become famous when you know that eventually somebody could maybe find out that the reason you're rich is not.
Because of crime?
Yeah, is because of crime.
More eyes on your crime. Okay.
Okay, we're still on reality TV. Did you see that Rachel Lindsay was on the fucking cover of New York Magazine?
I did. She did an as told to, who did she do it? To Allison P. Davis?
Yeah.
It was shocking. A lot of it was stuff we already knew.
Yeah.
I think the part that kind of made me like raise my eyebrow a little bit, because it's like you said, it's a lot of, I guess that this stuff that we didn't know was all of the details about her audition process. Yes. I thought was actually sort of.
Because you always wonder like how they get the smart people. Rachel Lindsay is a smart person to mm-hmm. engage in this bullshit. And
yeah,
it is kind of for her, they manipulated her quite a bit because, you know, she was going to be the first, quote unquote. Right. Mm-hmm. And they said, if not you, who, you know, it's like everything's right. counting on you to be the first Black bachelorette, you know?
Yeah. And well, that's part of the thing. She's a smart person. And she says, she's like, well, because I was the first Black bachelorette, like I had to be the smart one. I had to be like the one with the law degree, the one with like the parents who were somebody. It was like, I couldn't just be the random white girl who was like a beauty pageant. And she was like, that's offensive and racist, but like, whatever. She says that she acknowledged all these things. And she was like, I'm going to go into this and it's going to be good. For me, it's going to be good. And for her, it wasn't good.
But the thing is with her, is that what I find just so interesting about her, and a lot of bachelorettes this happens with, she's still with the guy from her season. So when it's like, do you have any regrets? Mm-hmm. It's like very,
the love of her
it's
life.
Really hard for her because I think she's like, oh, I have regrets everywhere, but it's hard for me to regret this because I met my husband and, mm-hmm. you know. But the end is kind of more interesting because she's like, I'm recusing myself, right? That's the word, lawyerly, from mm-hmm. anything having to do with The Bachelor moving forward, you know, or like I'm just not involved in this anymore. Like she took a break. She like quit the podcast that she was doing.
Yeah.
That, you know, had, I'm sure she was talking about it. I don't know if she's the extra correspondent anymore right or for right now. So it's just, it's yeah. interesting. Like she has a book of essays coming out. I think this is obviously the promo for that, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. The ending is the most surprising part because I think a lot of people, ourselves included, have long thought that Rachel was sort of table setting for her to just take Chris's place and be the
right,
face
but
of the
she's
Bachelor.
Not.
The Bachelorette.
That's what
and
I
she
find
specifically
so
says here,
interesting.
Like, I don't really want to be the Bachelor person anymore. What does she say? I'm no longer making myself available to the Bachelor universe.
I'm
to the franchise, I'm
I mean,
no longer
I'm
a figurehead.
I'm surprised because I just,
me too.
Everyone is sinister, but I'm very impressed and I'm like happy for her. Like, she shouldn't be having to do this work the rest of her life. It sounds like mm-hmm. what she did is enough. And it was painful.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously she has plans for the future. She has plans to be a talker, a writer, a public figure. Like
yeah,
her
totally.
Her book, and it's not even like her book comes out tomorrow. Her book doesn't come out until January. Like this isn't necessarily book promo.
You're
this
right.
is just because
right.
like Rachel's telling a story.
Right.
And what I thought was sort of weird was that she's a writer. She wrote this book of essays, but this was clearly just dictated. This was just looks like it was a really long interview
yeah,
that
like
was transcribed into one thing.
Yeah, and
because
I gotta
it goes
say,
on and
no matter
on and
how
on.
I feel about her after I read this, I think positive for the most part. As soon as I read those comments, I'm like, I'll go to the cage for her. I'll kill for mm-hmm. her because the way that people talk about her. And directly to her in some of these comments is so disgusting on some levels. And the Bachelor Nation, some of the fandom there is so toxic that, like, she could say whatever. And I'm like, Team Rachel. And, like, I just, like, it's so gross, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, also, don't you think, I mean, maybe this is ironic. I think it's technically ironic. Although,
what
in a weird way, just the fact that the person who came out and exposed all of the Bachelor's flaws, or basically shone a spotlight on them where they were no longer ignorable, is the person who may have found the strongest relationship from the show. Like,
I mean,
she's dumping on this show. She's talking about how this show is so terrible for so many reasons, but oops, she fell in love. Like, it's kind of sweet. It's like this, it's weirdly poetic, you know, in this way.
I see my forever and I see my future.
Wait.
I want to kiss you so bad. So
and
bad
I
right
just
now.
Want to tell you that I love you and I'm in love with you and I can't imagine spending my life with anyone else.
There are quite a few strong relationships that came from The Bachelor, but I mean, she has one of them. In terms of like a percentage rate, it's low, and she has one.
It's low.
So yeah, I mean,
she got the best case scenario, though. I guess
the most interesting thing that she talked about for me was how they really pushed the stereotype of her now husband Brian, because he is Latino, and they were like, they really pushed that like in the show, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah. The guy who was kind of the other guy was that guy, Pilot Pete or whatever, who
the white guy,
so
yeah.
Boring. And they really tried to make him interesting to give her this the drama of who to pick, right? Mm-hmm. When she really was not as into Pilot Pete as she was into Brian the whole time. It's not interesting TV if that's the case. So like she's saying like the manipulation was already really there. And they also like knew they kind of wanted Pilot Pete for The Bachelor anyways.
Yeah, because she was like, everyone loved Pilot Pete. Pilot Pete was the number one favorite. And then with this guy, it was just like a joke. Because they like played stereotypical music every time he walked on screen or something like that. Where it was like, they gave him kind of like this goofy edit, the non-serious edit. But it was the one that she was actually in love with. Really good insights into reality TV production. And the way that like, maybe your assumption about these relationships is close, but just far enough away for it to just feel like, you know, this huge gulf between what the truth is and what we think is. Like her relationship with Chris, where it's like, we were always together for the production. We always had to like be around each other traveling and stuff, but like we weren't close at all. Like they didn't really talk. It was just this really superficial relationship. Like that was sort of interesting to me. And the way where like even kind of the real-time editing where she would have a conversation with one of the bachelors and it would maybe veer into the topic of race or something and she would get angry and a producer would go, by the way, we're cutting that.
Right.
You know, like right away they'd say, this isn't going to be on the show.
Right.
Like that's interesting to me.
Great. Cool cover. A cool NY Mag cover. A cool idea.
Cool cover.
Yeah.
Is Olivia Rodrigo a who or is she a them? I guess she's a them.
Is she a them? Ugh. Courtney Love, I think, is a them.
Courtney Love is a them.
So this is a them on them. We can't even talk
Courtney
about
Love's
it.
Yeah, I guess we can't talk about it. I guess we have to move
is
on.
Is Olivia Rodrigo really a them? Sure, whatever, I guess.
Whenever you are that quickly a chart topper and have not one but two like number one songs within the span of a couple of months, I think so. I don't even think she's just a Gen Z them. I think we all know who she is now. Maybe not.
I mean, I just feel like it's like her song is as big, if not bigger than Bodak Yellow. So it's like when Cardi B, I think Cardi B is more of a cultural phenomenon and more of a personality and more everywhere than Olivia is. But if we're going to call that a breakthrough, who to them, we got to call this a breakthrough, who to them too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is a lot of the culture. That song is everywhere.
She's a lot of the culture. I think there is something a little stranger about like Cardi B was in her 20s when this happened? Like, there's still, and even though Olivia Rodrigo is, 18, 19, like, an adult, there's something about her image that's still sort of, like, teeny bopper childish, you know? Or it's like, oh, no, this isn't for, it may be easier for an adult to say, like, this isn't for me. Whereas with, like, Cardi
B. Yeah, but the response is, oh, God, I'm too old for this, but I love it. It's not even, like, this isn't for me. This is, like, I don't care who says that I'm listening to this. Like, I feel old. I love it. So I don't even think it.
She's a them. You know who is absolutely a who and there's no debate? Jared Padalecki.
Did you see this?
I didn't see it until you put it in the doc. I can't believe this. And I kept scrolling and being like, wait, where's the reveal that he's kidding? Where's the reveal that he's kidding? And he's not kidding. And then it just becomes like brutal.
I'm just dying because like this guy, Jared Padalecki, moves to Austin, gets like Walker Texas Ranger on the CW, like the reboot, which like, okay. And then
he was on Supernatural for 100 years.
He was on Supernatural for 100 years. Who? And his former Supernatural co-star, Jensen Ackles, didn't get the freaking Walker Texas Ranger reboot. He's still in LA tooling around. So he gets this Supernatural prequel reboot or something.
Prequel, the Winchesters.
Prequel reboot.
Prequel.
And tweets it or whatever. And Jared Padalecki retweets it. And he goes, dude, Happy for you. Wish I heard about this some other way than Twitter. I'm excited to watch, but bummed that Sam Winchester had no involvement whatsoever. I guess it's his character's name. Were they were brothers, right?
Yeah, they were brothers.
And then somebody was like, this has got to be a bad joke. This ain't it. We're freaking out because the fandom is powerful or loud. And he wrote, no, it's not. This is the first time I've heard about it. I'm gutted. It is weird they wouldn't even just tell him. It is it really says
a lot.
Well,
he's busy making Walker.
Yeah, but come on, leave the guy a message. Hey, we're rebooting the show you were on without you. Like, I know you're busy, but like your best friend forever, Jensen Ackles.
Ackles.
I guess there's another guy on the show, Misha Collins, who's another actor who played some character on Supernatural. And he retweeted the article and wrote, seems like this show would benefit from a time-traveling angel in a trench coat character. Just saying. And so Jared Padalecki retweeted because he was like shaming him. And Misha was like, need a guy? I'm free. You know, like hire me. Well, he also RT'd the showrunner. He said, A2 yeah. Brute. This guy is so mad.
But then obviously he had a talking to or spoke to someone and said, at Jensen Ackles and I had a great talk, as we do often, and things are good. The show was early in the process with miles to go, aka there's plenty of runway for me to be involved. We've traveled a lot of roads together, and sometimes those damn roads have bumps. Bumps don't stop us. Once brothers, always brothers. Hashtag SPN family.
These two absolutely despise each other.
It's nothing's ever been clearer. And then you have Jensen Ackles quote retweeting that and adding, love you at Jarpad. Miss these talks. I forgot how much FaceTime we always used to get. And I miss that too. I know you're busy, as am I, but you're still my brother. I miss you, pal. Ugh. Get a room. Get a room, please. This is ridiculous. Happy
get
Pride, get a room.
A room.
But no, you're right. Like, there is just resentment and, like,
my God.
There's resentment and disgust just dripping off of these tweets. And it's clearly, like, they worked together for 100 years. They're probably sick of it. They've had enough of each other. Also, like, don't be rude. You just got a show. Why are you being rude to Jensen? You just
I'm
got
sure
a show.
I'm sure they were like,
hit.
Jensen, will you reboot this, like, very popular franchise? And he's like, as long as Jared Padalecki isn't there, like, I am sick of that guy.
Will you not tell him before the deadline story goes up? Because that would make me really happy. Please? Please?
I'm going for this new show. It's like open on a grave. Sam Winchester has died. Is that his name? Sam Winchester?
That's how Sex and the City is starting.
Oh my God.
Because they're like, Chris Noth is in it. And it's like, honey... No. Chris Noth is going to be in flashback, like grabbing his left arm, being like, Gary, call an ambulance.
Yeah, he's in it watching down from heaven or whatever.
John, do you need an ambulance? Abso-fucking-lutely, like collapse. Like, that's how Sex and the City is starting. That's what's happening.
He's in it as an organ donor. Okay, we need to move on.
There are only two times when it's appropriate to wear the little black dress in daylight. One involves leaving a party way too late. The other involves leaving the party way too early. The New York funeral.
I love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
what is there
I
else
get
to
mad.
Say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's the one that I will not stop using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. Mm-hmm. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time. And I'm
way.
You have to move because need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's irritating, actually. Wow. He likes the Helix
rude.
So much.
It's so rude.
Every body is unique, and I mean every body, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different. And that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic, and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. We're going to tell you about a new show called Jocular, hosted by ER Fightmaster, whom we've talked about on the podcast before, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, and they're also best friends who are obsessed with women's sports. Kind of like I'm becoming obsessed with women's sports.
You are.
They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women-focused in the world of sports, and in each episode, they'll cover the latest games, debate pressing issues, and review how they're all really horny for basically everyone in the game. This is every time I talk to someone who's a fan of women's sports, like a genuine fan of women's sports, not like a newbie like me, they're like, horny, 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 horny. I'm horny for all of them.
I know. They're always crushing on people in the game. But that's why it's like we need a podcast that's not us to kind of tell us what we're supposed to care about, who we're supposed to care about, who's hot and who's sexy and who we're paying attention to.
Yes, and that's what Jocular is for. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping. I don't even know what power slapping is, but I'm in. So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts now. Maya Jama, that's a new person.
Hi everyone, I'm Maya Jama, and I'm going to tell you 10 things you didn't know about me with Glamour UK.
That's all you got? That's all I've got.
Maya Jama's dating Ben Simmons. I only know about sports whenever they dated a famous person. And this sports person dated Kendall Jenner.
Ben dated Kendall Jenner, and Maya dated Stormzy. The reason why I noticed this piece of news is because they were spotted leaving a dinner date at Sexy Fish, which like immediately brought me back to my Jess Glynn sexy face debacle. Remember, she was like underdressed.
How could I forget that Jess Glynn was underdressed at Sexy Fish?
Sexy Fish.
Jess Glynn was underdressed at Sexy Fish in the middle of a pandemic. Never forget. Like
in the middle of a pandemic. And then was mad that they didn't let her in. Because it was a lots of things. Was it during the pandemic?
Yes, it was last summer. And Justin was like, I want to go to Sexy Fish. And she was in a hoodie. And they were like, you're not getting in here, honey. And then she got angry.
Maya's ex.
She called it discrimination.
Maya is a host. I love a very UK thing. I mean, we have this too, but Maya is a host. They have so many things you can host. And that's her main gig is like, she's the co-presenter of something, 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 something. She hosted The Circle in the UK, and she used to date Stormzy for 4 years. Four years.
And now she's dating Ben Simmons.
The other interesting thing is that she was rumored to have something with Drake because he name dropped her in a freestyle. And then there was like, oh, it's Drake versus Stormzy or whatever. But she is mentioned in a Drake freestyle.
Yeah. Yo. Chose my jam, this you for a chain, and give it to a sweet one called that Maya Jama. Giving out gifts like Santa, sipping on Santa. Used to do leaning, wop. Closet full up with designer, coming like Panda Panda.
And then she was like, I've never met the guy.
You're right. Like, we don't necessarily have American equivalents that are exactly the same. Like, there isn't a perfect parallel, right? There isn't this, like, you know, exact replica.
We have hosts. But then it's hard because it's like, our hosts, I guess our newer hosts, let's say like James Corden and Jimmy Fallon, are also performers. They're also actors. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, I guess our hosts, we have late night hosts. That's a category, right?
So late night host is different than just like a TV presenter who works across the BBC.
This is a bouncing host. This is a very much like almost like somebody who started in radio and then started being a host. I guess Ryan Seacrest would be one.
Ryan Seacrest is close. But like, so many of them are legacy, and I feel like a thing that happens in Britain a lot is you get like a lot of younger people that come in and then like whatever. Like Ryan Seacrest has been doing this forever.
Like,
Julian Rancic has been doing this forever.
The girls, I think a lot of it has to do with the E show, E Morning Pop or whatever.
But like, those are just And I just think that there's no equivalent because the BBC is so huge. Like, we don't have, like, state-funded media, I guess, in the way that, like, yeah, they have all these BBCs.
I don't think our hosts
are relegated to E.
Okay, but I don't think she's as famous as you're. Like, I think she's in the realm of the woman on E, Top of the Pops or whatever, who is married to Dr. Phillips' son. What's her name? You know, like, her.
Oh, Jordan Stewart.
Yeah.
No, something that's, Stewart.
Well, that's him. Morgan Stewart.
Morgan Stewart, like, he's Jordan McGraw, right?
Okay. Like, there, this does exist. It's just, I think, a little bit more. These people are able to be more. There's less shows to be on, maybe, but that can't be true. I don't know. England has.
I think it has to do with how big the networks are. When you're a host on the BBC, you could be a host on all sorts of things. Whereas, like, when you're a host on E, you're a host on E, and it's like, not many people are watching.
I also think there's more and. God, it's like, this is so hard. There's more like personality-based programming in the UK where it's like, it's a game show where all of these celebrities come and play games. Or it's, you know, like they all, it's, there's more of these panel shows that lean towards funny people, people with personalities and comedians and hosts being on the show as a thing. And like, I think there, we have less of that here. Mm-hmm. So, because she, you know, BBC One's Peter Crouch, Save Our Summer. Like, what is that? But she's also the host of Britain's Next Makeup Star, right? Like, whatever that is. But we have equivalents of that. Of course we do, right? I don't know. I think maybe she was a model.
She just
first,
seems more famous than
sense.
Morgan Stewart.
I mean, is
although,
she?
Although, what
though?
Do I know?
Like, I don't know. I laughed because when I was searching her name, I found this in her Wikipedia. It says she is a millionaire. Like, that's like one of the things in her Wikipedia. And I was like, what are they citing? So I clicked on what they were citing, and it's something from The Standard. Maya Jama on becoming a millionaire at 26 and why she's quit dating. The presenter tells Katie Strick about buying her first house in Southwest London, making her TV debut, and why her best friend is like a husband and wife in one. Okay, fine. But then,
okay, Maya.
At the bottom of the interview, it says, Maya Jama has been challenged by pepperami chicken bites to find love at first bite, taking part in a dating experience that matches the superstar with singletons based on food preference alone. To watch an episode, visit pepperami TV. Can you play, like, click the one.
Gladly.
Click the one after the lol.
Pepperami have set me a challenge to create my perfect date night dish. I've gone straight in with the mac and cheese with the pepperami chicken bites. Let's have a go. I'm gonna take my macaroni and just, you know, different people have different styles. I like to, just for effect. Got my chorizo, off you plop. Woohoo! So while that's brewing, we've got some cheese, whack that in there, and we've got a bit of cream cheese. And spinachi, that's what they call it, isn't it, in the posh places. Spinachi! And then add a little bit of milk as you go. It's all right if it's a little bit burnt on the sides as well, it gives a little bit of a... The pasta's done now. Food makes everybody happy, we all have to eat.
Okay, I've had enough of this.
Pepperami chicken bites. She's... Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's doing Spawn for this, and I was cracking up because it's like... It's just like, it's... It looks like beef jerky. It's just like chicken jerky.
But they're in like a bag. They're in like a chip bag.
Yeah.
But they look like beef. They kind of look like nuggets. But they're like, they don't go bad. It's weird. It's jerky, but it's chicken.
I mean,
it's
I would eat it. Shape. I would eat them.
I'm intrigued by them. I would love to see them at Knapp's Deli next time we go to Knapp's Deli, because that looks like good beach food where you're like looking for snacks to take and you're willing to take a risk, you know? You're like, yeah, I'll try these. I'll take these to the beach. Yeah.
Pepperami has challenged me to see if I can find love at first bite. I'm hoping to be dazzled. My mouth has gone undazzled for too long. I'm such a catch. I've got, you know, just bang on average genitalia.
What's next here?
You tell me, babe.
Oh, okay. We don't have to talk about Grace and Chance.
What? After all that? He's the paparazzi kid. Didn't we just talk about him?
He's the paparazzi kid. And also, I mean, I guess it is kind of cool because he has gone through the evolution that, like, you only get whenever you become famous as, like, a kid. Like, he became famous as a kid on Disney Channel. And he has these, like...
Wait, but didn't he come famous as a viral paparazzi playing person on Ellen?
Really? Oh, it was him.
Yeah,
okay.
That's Grayson Chance.
So, yes. Yeah, so, he... This guy, Grayson Chance, I just saw, like, Grayson Chance comes out. Like, Grayson Chance reveals boyfriend. And I was like, why do I recognize that name? Happy Pride. I'm interested in this story for, like, very fundamental reasons. Okay. And then I'm reminding myself of who this person is. And his story goes back over a decade. Grayson Chance is one of those people who became famous as a kid, grew up on social media, got older in front of everyone, already is old enough to have left the business and come back to the business, come out, now has a boyfriend, but has this weird history with like actual really, really famous people, one of them being Ellen, because one of the biggest things in his early career was singing Paparazzi by Lady Gaga.
That's
on
how
Ellen.
I remember him. It was a hit on YouTube, and it got
on YouTube,
a
yeah.
lot of views, and then Ellen brought him is. On the show.
Everyone in the audience of his like middle school gym is not looking impressed, and you just want to like slap all of them. It's like, look at what this
it's
kid
good.
Is doing.
It's good. It was also, what year was it? 2011?
11? 2011. So that's like, I think it was just around peak, though. I think it was right at the peak.
Right, because right well, I was at AOL in 2010. Okay, it was peak. It was like... peak time that something would be viral on the internet and it would be on either Today Show or Ellen or anything. I just talked to New York Times about this, like the Ellen, mm-hmm. the Ellen phenomenon. And like, it was a pipeline. You literally, it mm-hmm. literally was like day after day you saw a video and you'd be like, where would this go? Where, who's going to be on Ellen? Which one, which person from this video yep. is going to be on Ellen next? And like, yep. it almost was a joke.
Gaga?
Hi. Hi, Ellen.
Oh,
hi.
No.
Miss Gaga.
Hi. It's so nice to meet you. It's so funny. I'm lying in bed here with my mom taking a break, and they said Ellen's gonna call you, and then my dad was laughing that you called. So he's been, you know how that caller ID on the phone talks sometimes. So my dad's going, Ellen calling, Ellen calling.
So after being, after kind of moving to LA and like doing music after this, he's like, I'm sick of this. I'm done. I'm leaving music. And he leaves music. And then he comes back a couple years later and he's like, I'm doing music again. And also I'm gay. So he got like a, I don't mean to say this like cynically, but it's like he got like a promotional cycle out of it too, right? Because he's like, he's the kid you might remember. Remember the kid who sang Lady Gaga? Well, guess what? He's gay.
And you can tell that you wrote it because it's your stories. It's a lot about heartbreak and yeah. things that didn't work out for you. And speaking of that, which I didn't even know that you yeah. were gay. So yeah. You had come out to your family at 16, I guess.
Yeah, when but I was fairly young, yeah.
Right, but I, and then you publicly came out yeah. when you were 18?
19.
19, yeah. Okay. And why did you feel like you waited and why was that the right time?
Yeah. Well, and I'll preface it by saying, you know, I was so fortunately blessed, and you know my family too. I didn't have any issues, you know, coming out to family and friends. It was very, very easy. And I think too, I really wanted to make sure that it didn't seem like I was trying to profit or, you know, sort of promote my sexuality as a means of getting more fame and popularity.
And now he's getting People Magazine, not even just Jared Jr. coverage, like People Magazine for adults, People exclusive. About his new boyfriend. And guess what? He has a new EP. So he's promoting his music. He's promoting his boyfriend on People Magazine, just like a real celebrity. But he's definitely still a who because I completely forgot about this person. And his music is like cute. It's fine. It's good. Whatever. God damn, I could use a little company.
So there were two things in
Us Weekly recently that obviously I clicked on because they're two of my favorite features, Day of My Life and 25 Things.
Who is and this they woman?
They were spawnier than normal. So this woman, Kate Bock, you don't know who Kate Bock is, Lindsay?
Do you?
How do you not know who Kate Bock is?
Again, will I will repeat myself. Do you?
Yes, Lindsay. She's a Canadian model. Known for her appearances in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue since 2013.
You don't know who she is no. either.
Lindsay, in 2011, Bock appeared in the music video to the song Jack Sparrow by the comedy troupe The Lonely Island. Okay?
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's Kate Bock. Anyway, so Kate Bock does this Us Weekly Inside a Day of My Life. And I'm like, I love clicking this because it's like, okay, gotta find the spawn, right? Gotta find the spawn. Where's it going to be? When I tell you the spawn is instant, I mean it. The spawn starts instantly and it keeps coming. It's all in a day for Kate Bock. The model knows how to balance her time, juggling her workload and a healthy dose of self-care. Bock begins her day with a morning skincare routine. After she washes her face with an oil-free foaming cleanser, she uses Vintner's Daughter Active Botanical Serum. Quote, "It's a special potion for my dry skin," she exclusively tells Us Weekly. "Just 3 drops and I'm hydrated all day." Then she applies sunscreen, more specifically Dr. Barbara Sturm's SPF 50 and Supergoop's Unseen Sunscreen. She has a quote about all of these things. She's dating a basketball player too named Kevin Love. More. At 7:30, she talks about Dr. Barbara Sturm's foaming cleanser. At 8 o'clock, she scrambles eggs with everything bagel seasoning and truffle zest. That honestly sounds like a really good idea. Okay. At 1 p.m., work it. When not at a shoot, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model is in her office expanding her portfolio. I work with brands in the beauty, health, and wellness space. I believe it because she's gotten so much promo in this story already. At 4 p.m., once she turns off her computer, Bock hits the gym. It feels good to release stress from the day, she explains. I like Pilates and recently tried Dance Body. I love the energy. That's Bond, Dance Body. Okay, 5:30 p.m., self-promo. The chief brand officer of Pompette, Lindsay, you asked who she is? She's the chief brand officer of Pompette. A hard, sparkling water mixes a cocktail with the beverage and relaxes on her patio. It's refreshing, clean, and only has 40 calories per glass. My calling alcohol God. Clean, I'll never get it. It's the buzzword. And then at 10 p.m., she talks about how excessive hand washing during the pandemic caused a lot of dryness. Quote, "I discovered Tenovertin cream." Do you think she discovered it? Or do you think she, like, discovered an extra, like, few hundred thousand dollars in her bank account? Like... I discovered a check in my mailbox.
You have to respect that they let her do so much spawn when it's like not. You'd think they'd let the more famous people do the more of the spawn. You know, they're like, we're just happy mm-hmm. to have you, Tori Spelling or whatever. But then you have this woman who I've never heard of in my goddamn life. And it's my job to know who people are. And they let her do spawn every hour of the day.
Everywhere.
You know?
And they have promoted Pompette's hard sparkling water on their website, on Us Weekly's website, for a while now. There's plenty of stories about Pompette on Us Weekly that somehow I missed.
It's also just crazy because it's like, usually these are like 5:30 p.m. I put the kids to bed or whatever, or I make dinner, or I go work out at the gym. I love jumping jacks. This one's like, I drink a hard sparkling water.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know? That's just not what you do at 5:30 p.m. You.
And the way this works.
This woman.
Pompette hard sparkling water doesn't come in a can like the hard sparkling water I think we're used to. It comes in a wine glass, a wine bottle.
It comes in a wine, bottle. Interesting.
It's hard sparkling seltzer, but it's in a wine bottle. Interesting. Okay, moving on. We have Tyler Cameron did a 25 Things You Don't Know About Me.
Oh my God. You know he has like a repulsive seeming memoir out right now.
Yeah.
I know about it because
it's the number 25. It's the number 25th thing that he talks about. It's called You Deserve Better.
I'm telling you, it's repulsive sounding.
If you are the ghostwriter of this memoir, please call in. We won't play it. I just want to know all about what it was like working with this person because there's no way this man's fingers have ever touched a keyboard. I just do not see it.
Former Bachelor contestant. Bachelor? Was he the Bachelor?
Yes.
Oh, God, it's so boring.
He's friends with that other boring bachelor, Matt James. They're like best friends. It's like, we're always shirtless and we're friends. That's his whole personality.
Wow, I can tell he, number 17, repeated 8th grade.
Am I right?
Yeah, but did you see he tried to blame his repeating of eighth grade on someone
sure,
else?
Sure, babe.
I repeated eighth grade because my best friend's parents were making him stay back.
Sure, yeah. On.
Your parents wouldn't let you repeat eighth grade just because you wanted to stay with your best friend, okay? You repeated eighth grade because you needed to repeat eighth grade. Because a teacher wrote "see me" on the top of your, like, report card. Has there ever been someone who, like, emits "see me" energy more than Tyler Cameron?
Traumatizing.
Okay? "See me." Okay, we have 17. I repeated eighth grade because my best friend's parents are making him stay back. 18. Love, loyalty, and freedom are the most important things to me. Okay. 19. Martin is one of my all-time favorite TV shows. Okay. 25. I cried way more than I thought I would while writing my book, You Deserve Better. We know you hired someone to do this. That whole thing is a lie.
It's out July 27th. The whole thing is a lie. Now I'm like promoting his book. Sorry, I want to just read you. From the Bachelorette breakout heartthrob, You Deserve Better will combine Tyler Cameron's life story with a guide for both men and women to building a healthy relationships in the tricky world of modern dating, proving why he's the male feminist we never knew we needed. Babe, I promise you, you're not. What the fuck is this shit?
I am so excited to see Little Women. God, Greta Gerwig is amazing. I mean, more women in film, am I right? Is that romance in the air? It smells amazing. Wow, you look absolutely amazing in this light. Here, hold on. I gotta get a picture of this. Yeah, this is my new screensaver.
He's an ally. His favorite movie genre is rom-com. That's feminist. I'm addicted to acai bowls from Three Natives and have it every morning. I'm opening up a Three Natives franchise in Delray Beach, Florida with one of my best buds, JP Caruso. So this is spawn for his book and his new franchise, Three Natives.
I'm sorry. If, like, you're writing a book about relation, whatever, like, get a degree in psychiatry or psychology or something, you know? Like, you're telling me this, like, acai bowl guy is telling me?
There's no pressure for them to get any sort of certification because they're going to get the book deal anyway.
Of course. I'm just being rude. I'm just saying I don't want some Floridian acai bowl peddler telling me about modern feminism, you know?
Me in a bookstore, whenever someone picks up Tyler Cameron's book, You Deserve Better, and asking them to put it down. Like, it's actually a terrible title.
Oh, man.
You deserve better than to read this book.
We gotta end this because I'm already so bored of him. I'm already so...
Wait, you didn't read the rest of the book description, Lindsay. Tyler Cameron impressed fans on The Bachelorette with his ability to discuss difficult topics with a level of emotional intelligence perhaps never seen on reality television, okay? Things like consent and boundaries, respect for
women
and their decisions.
Have you seen Tollywood Medium? That's a lie.
The roots of toxic masculinity and insecurity and more.
Have you seen I Love New York? That's a lie.
Tyler seems like a unicorn. He's got the world's attention simply by demonstrating a full grasp of respect and no fear of vulnerability and honesty. But shouldn't this be the norm? In this book, he'll show that every person deserves a partner who understands and values them, with advice on how to seek out someone like this and how to behave like this for your own someone. They're saying that no one on television has ever spoken about respect for women and consent more fully than Tyler Cameron. Speaking of reality television show, a lot of reality here. Chrishell is mad that people are saying that she is not really a real estate agent.
I can't with Chrishell.
Which has been this ongoing thing.
Did you
forever.
Miss Chrishell? Chrishell, we haven't talked about Chrishell on the show for like an unprecedented amount of time.
Because we needed her to get over her breakup because she was treated terribly. We needed her
by
to like
KO
come back on her
from
own terms.
Dancing with the Stars.
Yes. We needed her to come back on her own terms. And
Chrishell really is a great reality star.
I was talking about Justin Hartley, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was talking about KO, the boyfriend she had after about Justin Hartley, also was fucked up to her. Anyways, now she's standing up for herself. The 39-year-old selling Sunset Star recently took to her Instagram story to refute claims she didn't serve as her own real estate agent while purchasing her home. Of course she did. That's her job. Don't you watch Selling Sunset?
Whenever she gets into it, she's like, I was the agent. Because they said that one of the Oppenheim twins, they said that Jason was the agent. That was the rumor. And she was like, no, I was the agent and Jason was the broker. And I'm sort of like,
Jason
I will
or
never know the
what's
difference.
The other one named? Jason or Grayson?
It's Jason Schmason.
Jason
and Schmason, for sure. That's absolutely what it is. So Jason and Schmason are like, no, what? How dare you disrespect Chriselle? She is a real estate agent, and she was the agent on her own house. Meanwhile, we all know, based on Selling Sunset isn't one of those shows that's trying to make being a real estate agent really seem that much harder than it is. Like, really, all these women do is, like, they walk to the house and they unlock the door.
All I need to, as somebody who knows all I need to know about real estate agents and what they do based on Selling Sunset, they don't do much, okay? I believe that she sold her own house to herself. Of course she did.
She walked in and she was talking to herself and she was like, so here's the bedroom and here's the kitchen. Oh, there's a waterfall marble island. Okay, great. What's the price? It's $3.6 million. Okay, great. You did your job.
I'll take it. Thanks, Chriselle. No, thank you. No, you're welcome.
That would be compelling television. Chriselle selling the house to herself. That's what we need.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, how is it really that hard? I'm joking. I really don't know anything about. I only know what I watch on Selling.
So you pay your down payment or whatever. Maybe she paid cash, and then she got a cut of the money that she paid for the house. Like,
I don't know. But remember when they were like, "We got to get the front end and the back end. We got to get this thing from both sides, front and back." And I'm like, I hate this show, but I love it.
I love it so
Meanwhile,
much.
Meanwhile, where is it? Come back already. It's like, what's taking so long? It's not like there's a pandemic or anything. Come on, guys.
Christine is still out here selling stuff because we've seen her, like,
she sold herself a baby into her belly and out of her vagina. She has a full baby.
Okay, so she corrected the rumors. Also, there's no one, as much as I like Chriselle, she does not seem to really be the personality type to deal with being a reality star. Like, things do not just brush
roll off
her back,
her back,
you know, roll off her back in the way that they roll off Christine Quinn's
back.
She's
taking one person's comment very seriously. I don't think that the majority of people thought that this woman didn't sell herself a house. Of course she did, you know?
Like, the moment some random, you know, JB3126 on Instagram, like, commented on Chriselle's thing and was like, I don't think you sold your house. She was like, at JB3126, how dare you disrespect me? I've never been more disrespected in my entire life. I absolutely sold my own house. The fact that you don't believe it is really offensive, blah, 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 blah. Like, the epitome of the person who should never read the comments, you know? But she'll never stop reading the comments.
Right, and she's out here. She's reading them. Yeah. No, it's, she definitely is one of those. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for this show to come back. Me neither. Okay. I can't wait to keep learning how to sell houses.
What do you think about Chriselle?
I don't know. She seems nice.
She did bring a basket of dog toys, so.
I know, such
that
a
kiss
sweet.
Ass move.
No, that was a kiss ass move. It was an ass kisser move.
It was still nice.
Yeah, they said that about Ted Just Bundy, too.
Do you know that Ewan McGregor had a secret baby?
I know, last night I got the push alert.
Insane. Literally, last episode we were talking about his daughter Clara getting bit by a dog in the face and walking the red carpet like a star.
And she went from being someone who called Mary Elizabeth Winstead like a trashy asshole to being the person who told the world that Mary Elizabeth Winstead gave birth to a baby with her father.
I just liked that she was the one who announced it. They let her do the promo. They were like, Clara, you're on a roll. Your dog bitten face got you the press that it deserved. And now, honey, we're going to let you announce our secret baby on Instagram. You are doing it. You are a star, Clara.
But I do think that, like, obviously they have a good relationship. Like, I think that's clear. But I think part of the reason, I'm not saying this was like their publicist told them to do this, but it's like, it really does nip any sort of rumor that she has a bad relationship with her dad and her.
No, like, clearly she's
her
over
dad's
it.
Girlfriend.
Clearly she's
right.
Over it.
By being the one to announce it. Like, it shuts up that conversation before it even starts, really, which is smart. It was smart of them to do it like this.
I just cracked up because I'm just like, this girl, like, Ewan was just like, we're pushing Clara this month. It's Q1. Wait, what Q is it? It's Q3. Q3? Q2?
I think it might be Q2. I think we're in
is
Q2.
Is it Q2? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's Q2.
It's Q2. We're pushing Clara. She deserves this push. Let's give
Has
her the
Q3
baby
be
news.
Gone? No, we're in the end of Q. It's still Q2. I think Q3
it's the
begins
end of Q2.
Like in a couple of days. Yeah.
This reminding me that we have to pay our quarterly taxes. But yes, it is Q2. Anyways, I just am like, I'm appreciating the continuing press push for Ewan McGregor's daughter who got bit in the face by a dog, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love it. She's doing really well. Let's move on to Rita.
What was she wearing?
Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Rita's still in LA. My favorite photo of the week. So she apparently has a song coming out soon with Sigala. Do you know who Sigala is?
Do you?
I had to Google it. I didn't know, but I was seeing a lot of the British press was writing like, she's doing X, she's wearing like this amid the release of her new single with Sigala.
Is it like,
it's a DJ.
He's like a Tiesto. Yeah.
He's a Tiesto. He's a Calvin Harris. He's a British DJ.
This is probably because her EP did so well. And that was also with a DJ.
Mm-hmm. My favorite photo comes from this headline. Rita Ora watches on while boyfriend Taika Waititi does an outdoor workout. And so we have Taika Waititi in a pink tank top, pushing one of those like things where you push the thing that has the weights
match?
On it.
They also match? Who's taking
and
this
she's
photo?
Matched. And she's, but obviously there are photos where she is in focus, but my favorite photo is Taika Waititi like grunting and he's pushing this like heavy thing in the sun, in the California sun. And are behind like... him is a blurry pink object that you can tell
100% has, Rita Ora.
That has sunglasses and a bucket hat, a pink bucket hat. And like out of focus, you could show me that blur and I'd say that's Rita Ora in 2 seconds.
Okay, so
you
can
tell that's Rita.
Can I just ask, you don't have the link to the story here, so I can't even click on it. They dressed matching to go to the gym.
Well, outdoor workout. Outdoor workout.
Okay, but that's the gym. It's a gym. He's pushing a piece of gym equipment. It is the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they're working out outside. Clearly the paparazzi was invited because they've got this incredible head-on shot of him. I mean,
it's perfect. It's a beautiful
photo. They could not be any closer. I mean, you'd think it was a workout class featuring paparazzi at this rate.
Yeah.
And there she is in the background cheering on her boyfriend and his fitness.
And is Rita Ora in workout gear? No. No, she is not.
She is not?
Rita Ora's
just
there.
Him.
No, she's in a dress and literally heels. She's just watching him work out.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And yet, the next headline you say she's always working, but not always working out. She's always working.
Rita Ora shares cheeky selfies during her Los Angeles stay as she prepares for the release of her new summer track with Sigala. Okay, she's working. That's true.
She also
she's always
sizzled
working.
As she flaunted her taut midriff in a yellow crop top and miniskirt while posing up a storm in L.A., causing tailwind out here.
And then she took pajamas trend to the next level in the silkiest pants, lace bralette, and towering heels.
Silkiest
I didn't know
pants.
There was a pajamas trend. Did you know?
No. Actually, it's too hot here to wear pajamas. Who's wearing pajamas?
Did you know that sleeping in cotton may actually make you cooler at night than like sleeping shirtless? It's counterintuitive. Sleeping in like something 100% cotton.
Psychology Today. Where'd you read this?
I read it somewhere when I was like, it's so hot in my bedroom. How do I sleep cooler? And every website's like, counter to what you think, wearing a shirt and like something cotton and pajamas may actually make you cooler when you sleep. And I'm finding that to be not so
was
true.
Was this study brought to you by...
by Big Cotton.
Yeah.
By Big Cotton.
Sounds a little sus to me. I'd like to see some... I just see some numbers.
That's it. We're done. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Call in at 619 Who Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song. And we'll see you on Friday. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
You will drain it.
Yeah. They want to know.
To be famous.